a little bit different. One, we get all the kids in here with us together, so we're together as families with the exception of a few of the little ones. And we're going to be walking through a Psalm 100. So in fact, if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn there, because we are going to look at this Psalm of Thanksgiving. And we're going to walk through sort of verse by verse and sort of reflect on what the Psalm is teaching us, specifically as it relates to our worship and our thanksgiving and our acknowledgement of who God is. So we're going to look at that together, and then we're going to weave our time of worship in throughout our service. And then at the end, we're going to have a time where if there's some things on your heart that you would like to share, if there's a testimony that you would like to give, if there's a word of thanksgiving that you would like to give, we're going to have a time at the end where we just have a few minutes for your chance just to give praise and honor to Jesus for the things that he's done in your life and in your family this year. So be looking for that and be praying. God, ask the Lord, is there something that I need to share as a word of praise or testimony that maybe would be an encouragement to someone else in this room this morning? So in Psalm 100, let's look at the first two verses, all right? Let's read the first two verses in Psalm 100, and here's what it says. It says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing." In these two verses, very quickly, there are three sort of instructions for us and sort of to guide our worship of the Lord. Three really, really simple, really specific things. The first thing he says to us is to make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, who? All the earth. It's an invitation not just to a few or not just to some, but it's an invitation to everyone. It pictures the heart that God has from Genesis to Revelation, a heart for the entire world and all nations. It's not just a calling for some. It's a calling for all of us, for every tribe, every tongue, every nation to shout out to the Lord, to sing his praises. It's a call for all of us. The second thing he says is to serve the Lord with gladness. So we're called to shout to the Lord, to exclaim his name. Then secondly, we're called to serve him, but how? Serve him with gladness. You know what that simply means? It means that it matters what's inside of our heart. So it's specifically when we're coming together as a church and we're gathering around the Word of God or we're in our hope communities or we're serving in some way, it matters how we serve. It matters not just that God just wants whatever we can give him. No, he wants ultimately what's in our heart. Kids, let me ask you a question. When your parents and your mommy and daddy ask you to do something and you say, "Fine," and you stomp your feet and you go up the stairs. Anybody ever done that? Anybody? Yeah, I know. Every single one of you done that. And I've done it too. Your parents don't like it when you do that, do they? No, why? Because that shows what's going on inside of your heart. So when the Bible tells us to serve God with gladness, it's an overflow of our heart that says, "God, I want to serve and I want to honor you and I want to sing your praises." Why? Because I love you. Because you're a good God. Because you're faithful to your people. And so it's an expression, and even in our obedience to God, our obedience is an expression of our gratitude to him. So serve the Lord with gladness. And then finally it says, come into his presence with singing. The first thing I noticed when I look at this verse is that we've been invited into the presence of God. Right? Like, let that sink in. We've been invited this morning into the very presence of the God of the universe, the God who created everything, the God who created you and me. We've been invited into his presence. And it says, come into his presence with singing. So we've been called to sing his praises. We get so caught up oftentimes in, like, the style of worship in different churches, and whether it's a hymns or contemporary, the scripture never speaks to that, but it does call us to sing. It does call us to lift our voice and sing his praises. And I know you're thinking, "Oh, I don't sing, Jared. That's not me. I do not sing." Well, we're called to. Right? It didn't say it has to be pretty. It just says that we have to sing. And again, that's an overflow of our hearts. So this morning, as we gather and as we sing, sing to Him, whether it's awful or whether it's beautiful, but sing His praises, lifting His name high, because that's what we're gathered together here for, and that's what we are called to do. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, there is more than 100 times that we are called to sing. Sing for the Lord. Sing His, bless His holy name. Sing to the Lord. We're called again and again to sing. And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 in the New Testament, we are called, as we gather together as church, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So church, this morning, my encouragement to you is as we gather and as we offer our lives in worship to the Lord, would we do so with all of our heart? Would we do so in sincerity and in gladness and true worship? And will we sing the best that we can with all our hearts and giving Him our everything? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the opportunity to gather in this place to sing Your praises together. Lord, as we do, would You be honored in our worship, in our thanksgiving this morning? There's so many things that we have to be thankful for. And so, Lord, this morning, we give You our hearts, and we let You know that we love You. This morning, all that matters to us is that Your name is lifted high and that You are honored above all else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath and all that I am never cease to worship You. Shout to the Lord all the earth, let us sing power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of Your name. I sing for joy at the work of Your hands. Forever I'll love You, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in You. Let's repeat that. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like You. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of Your mighty comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath
and all that I am. Never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. No, nothing compares to the promise I have. Lord, nothing compares to the promise I have.
You guys hear me? That sounds better now. All right, so there's a call to worship in verses 1 through 2. And here in verses 3, there's what I'm going to call a call to perspective. That is, there's a perspective change that we need. So verse 3 says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So if there are any English grammar nerds in here, there's something that's going to stand out to you in that verse. It's a third person pronoun, He or His. So the emphasis in verse 3 is that we are not God. The world does not revolve around us. So when we're growing up, many of us have grown up in fantastic families, and we're very busy, and especially as we're growing up, as we're children, and even into high school years, and sometimes even into college, there are people that are helping us with our schedule, that are keeping us on track. There's lots of stuff going on. And what can happen is we can kind of fall into the trap because everybody's worried about our schedule, our events, our sports, our dance classes, our recitals, our Christmases, all this stuff, that we can kind of fall into this trap that we think that the world is about us and the world revolves around us. Well, verse 3 here is telling us the exact opposite, that God is the center of the universe and that we exist to showcase God, that He's the creator. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. Not only did God create us, He also sustains us. We cannot sustain ourselves. No matter how much we think we are taking care of our stuff and our things, we cannot take care of ourselves. We are fully dependent on God. And so the psalm writer here, in the context of Israel's special covenant with God, says that we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Now, of course, for us, we're not born into this world automatically God's sheep or God's children. We are born into this world as enemies with God. So hopefully for all of us in this room, there was a time where there was a status change in our relationship with God, where we went from being an enemy of God to being a child of God. And so sometimes we need this perspective change, right? We need this this shock to our system, to where we look up and we realize once again that the world is not about us. Listen to what God told Job in chapter 38. So here, this is kind of the climax of the book of Job, that Job and his friends have been having this conversation, trying to pinpoint why Job was going through all this difficult stuff, and they're questioning God. And so God steps in at the end of the book and actually has a conversation with these guys. Listen to what he says. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?" This is a rhetorical question. Job was nowhere to be found. Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? And prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther. And here shall your proud waves be stayed. God gave Job and all his friends a much needed, proper point of view on their perspective. And so that might be what we need this morning. It might be what you need this morning. That maybe you're just caught up in the busyness and you're already stressed out about all the Christmas stuff that's coming ahead, who you got to buy for, that kind of stuff. Let's take a moment this morning and focus on God. That He is all-powerful, the universe revolves around Him, and that we are little pipsqueaks in God's program and in God's plan. So we're going to take just a couple minutes here. There's going to be some strumming going on, but I want you to bow your head and close your eyes and just spend some time with the Lord, just reflecting on what we just read and kind of getting yourself in a humble position in relation to who God is and to who you are.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
You can remain seated, but join us as we sing.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that my eyes would see my sin,
would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. Because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours.
So we have a call to worship, we have a call to perspective, and then thirdly, there is a call to give thanks. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Now, and again, the context of what the original author is writing here, there was the temple system in place. That giving thanks actually took a little bit more effort than just, you know, flipping your head up while you're driving down the street in your car. Giving thanks actually meant going to the temple, making sure you were ritually clean, and then offering a sacrifice, a thanksgiving sacrifice at that site. Now for us, the way we give thanks is, because the temple system is not in place during the church age, the way we give thanks is directly to the Father through Jesus Christ. Because he is our great high priest, we don't need any intercessor, that we can give thanks to him anywhere we are, anytime we want. He says in verse 5, here are three motives for giving thanks. For the Lord is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. So it's been probably like 3,000 years since the psalmist wrote this. But God's steadfast love is just as enduring today and just as constant today as it was 3,000 years ago. So we can give thanks for God's goodness, for his love, and thirdly, his faithfulness to all generations. That we can give thanks that God is faithful. And what that means is when God has spoken and when God has made a promise, he's going to fulfill that promise. And that we can bank on that. There's the old hymn, I'm sure many of you have heard it, Standing on the Promises. Because God is faithful. Stand back up with us. as we sing.
With us as we sing this song, Forever by Chris Tomlin.
Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For He is good, He is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. For the mighty hand and outstretched arm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn. His love endures.
When we read Scripture and we see time and time again this call of His people to give thanks, to bless His name, to bear witness and testimony of His goodness, of His faithfulness, we don't always have mornings like this where we can do that together. So we're going to take a few minutes. And if there is a word of praise or thanksgiving or anything that's on your heart that you would like to just to sort of publicly testify before others as a public confession. This is your chance this morning. And so I believe Pastor Kevin's going to hang on to this mic. And this will help all of us here, but also it'll allow we're recording the service as well. So That way we can if someone is not able to be here this morning can hear. So if you don't mind, just raise your hand and Kevin will bring you right back here and he'll bring you the mic. But just take a few minutes, church, and then if there's something else on your heart, just raise your hand and you'll have that opportunity.
So many of you guys have been praying for my mom over the last few months. She had open heart surgery back in August and some complications that landed her in ICU for over a month. We didn't expect her to make it. We were having some hard conversations, and she has made a full recovery. She's home. She didn't need rehab. She didn't need surgery on her vocal cords, like they said. She didn't need anything. She's fully recovered, and I just got to spend Thanksgiving with her, and I just need to praise the Lord, because just sitting and watching her talk, you almost forget that anything ever happened, that she was, you know, laying unconscious for a good month. So praise the Lord for his goodness and his healing for her.
Amen. Kevin, Tyler.
Just to continue to praise God, just like Cindy had some complications with her mother, as some of you may know, my dad had a stroke about 2 months ago, and my mom is suffering from dementia, and I'm here to give thanks to God for seeing my family through everything. And just like Cindy, I got to eat and be with my mom and dad for Thanksgiving. My dad is now home and is still going through rehab, but I give God all the praise, and I would also like to publicly thank each and every one of you for praying for all of us and being there for me and my family and just being a friend. And just your support. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, I don't have to sign and talk at the same time because that's kind of hard. God, during the service, just really impressed upon my heart and reminded me that I'm saved to glorify God. He created us. He bought us with Jesus' blood, and he owns us. His purpose for everything in our life, whether it's good, the bad, the easy, and the really hard, is for my sanctification and for his glorification. And like Tyler and others, I've gone through some problems with my parents. My dad had a subdural hematoma that was significant, and we, as you were afraid we might be making some hard decisions also. But God is so faithful, and irregardless, you know, it's easy to say he's faithful when things turn out okay. When they don't turn out okay, it doesn't matter. He's still faithful. And, you know, the enemy to our soul tells me and whispers in my ear that he just puts fear in my heart. And I know we all struggle with that a lot of the times, of just, I'm afraid, what if Dad falls again? Or what if this and what if that? Or whatever you're going through, there are a lot of what ifs for all of us. But I have to preach to myself almost every day to combat that. The lies that Satan tells me is that God is good, and regardless of what is going on in my life, he's good. And there's a verse that the Lord has really given me, and I got a plaque with it at Hobby Lobby, that says, perfect fear. It says in 1 John 1, 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. And how many times does Satan tell you that you're going through a hard time because God doesn't love you, or that he's far, or he's not answering your prayers? You know, I have to tell myself, God loves me perfectly. So if he loves me perfectly, then I don't have to worry whether it's the hard and the really, really hard and the goodbyes. God's allowed that in my life because he has a perfect plan for me. And it's not because he doesn't love me. It's because he really, really loves me.
Amen. Amen. So
Miss Lisa brought up a really good point. That we, if you remember last week, we talked about from 1 Thessalonians 5, where Scripture tells us to rejoice always and pray without ceasing, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Meaning that we're not always thankful for the things that we walk through and go through, but we can be thankful in them and in the midst of them. And so maybe for you, maybe you're not through it yet, but you can even be thankful for God's faithfulness and presence in the midst of what you're walking through. Is there anybody else? Yeah. Vicky.
Thank you. I could almost do a sermon on God's faithfulness. And I'm reminded with the children in here today that I'm talking to them as well. But the verses that you shared, particularly, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. I don't know how much comfort you get in that, but for me, that's been huge over the last several months, to be that he is God and not me, and that I am his sheep. And just to bring, I think most people maybe probably know what's been going on, but I did write down some things to share. Most of you know that my husband Keith had quadruple bypass surgery on February 13th, and then he had complications, and he collapsed on June 30th and was in the hospital through the 17th of September. When we brought him home for hospice care, and then surrounded by his family and friends, he moved from this earth to salvation. And guys, this is part of the reason we can be thankful and rejoice today, is because his journey on earth is complete, but he's with the Lord now, and he is, he's getting the full benefits of his salvation that Jesus died to pay for. And for this, I am very grateful. God orchestrated everything so well. Early on in this journey, Jared shared a verse with me about God carrying us like a sheep. I'm not sure if this is the exact verse, but it's interesting that God reminded me of this verse from a memory from a year or two ago. Hmm. It was Psalm 68:19. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise God, our Savior. For each day he carries us in his arms. And so that picture for me was like a sheep who is hurt and wounded and broken. And God puts the sheep on his shoulders and carries it. Well, for me, being a person who likes to go my own way, find my own path, and think I do a pretty good job of it, I was no shape to do any of that. I was basically being carried by the Lord. Yeah. And I cannot tell you how appreciative I am of that. How many ways that God showed himself that he was taking me in the right path and in the right direction, in the right way. I was the little lamb, and the shepherd was faithful. God carried me with the body of Christ. That's you guys, the church. You were the eyes, ears, mind, arms, and legs of Jesus through your prayers, through the many ways you ministered to me with meals, snacks. I mean, there were things that you guys did that I didn't even know I needed. Many people asked, what do you need? And I couldn't even say because I didn't know. But you were there. Money for vending machines. Gas cards. Just getting back and forth to the hospital. Meals, like I said. Texts with encouraging words and scriptures as we went through. God showed up for me in the elevator several times at the hospital. So I am a creature of fear. I just put it out there. And I appreciate your testimony this morning. But, you know, when I'm getting ready to go out to a dark parking lot by myself, and I get in the elevator, and there's like four security guards that go down with me. From that point on, I wasn't afraid anymore. It was like God was showing me every time I turned around that he had it. He was carrying me. He was going to get me through this. One morning when we had a surgery that we weren't prepared for, so I had no time to update my friends and ask for prayers, I was sitting there. Keith and I were waiting for this surgery, and I just thought, oh, Lord, I just wish that you had somebody here to pray for us right now. I got a text almost immediately. It was from our former pastor, George Bolson. And I told him what was going on, and he prayed for us. God continues to show up. Even now, I'm carried through this unfamiliar journey for me. It's not something you know, I've walked with anybody else through. So I've had to go this, you know, not alone, but in unfamiliar territory for me. And I go back to share with you all something that happened a few weeks ago, and share another verse. In Isaiah 54:5, it says, "For your Creator will be your husband. The Lord of heaven's armies is his name. He is your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you back from your grief as though you were a young wife abandoned by your husband, says your Lord, says your God. For a brief moment I abandoned you, but with great compassion I will take you back." So one of the things that was surprised to me in this journey is a sense of insecurity. I've always been a pretty independent lady. My husband would have testified to that, too independent at times. But suddenly, I felt insecure. I had purchased a chair for my mom and dad from the Davis family. And little scatterbrained part of grief process is being distracted and maybe having trouble making decisions, but I'm thinking the chair I picked up with Keith's truck, which I wasn't familiar with driving, and it was on the other side of Blacksburg, so it was closer towards Princeton, which is where I would be taking it. And so we loaded it on the truck, didn't have a bungee cord or anything to tie it down, but it looked like it was fitting snug. So loaded it up, started to West Virginia, and I noticed that the gas light came on. Now, my car tells you have this many miles, and typically I take every one of them to get to the gas station. But Keith's truck just says a little orange gas tank, and the needle seems to be going down faster than I think it should. So I'm like, I'm going to Newport, know where the gas station is, I'll go there. And as I'm traveling to Newport, the chair shifted to all the way to the back of the truck. Well, my fears, you know, were getting the best of me. I'm like, oh, no, it's going to topple out, hit another car, whatever. You know, my mind just goes everywhere with those thoughts. And, of course, my immediate reaction would have been to call my husband. You know, one, to find out, you know, how far have I got to the gas station? Two, what do I do? Do I go back to Blacksburg? Do I keep going, you know, to get gas? Do I, you know, do I just stop and call for help? What should I do? Without him there, I'm like, okay, Lord, you're just going to have to help me. So I go on to the gas station. I think maybe they'll have a bungee cord there. Just as I pull into the gas station, I'm getting gas. Here comes a police car pulling up to get gas. So I peeped over there, and I said, could you help me? And he said, sure, what can I do for you? I said, well, I told him the situation with the chair moving. He said, you definitely need to get that, you know, restrained. So I went, I thought, well, he said he would check for a bungee cord. I said, I'll go in the store and see if they have a bungee cord. And I did. I went in and asked, and they didn't have anything. They said the nearest Walmart was 25 miles away, and I'm just going, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out. I come back out to the car and told the police officer they didn't have any bungee cords. He didn't have one in a car, and suddenly I look up, and there's a blonde-headed young man, about looks a lot like my nephew, who's named Gabriel, after the angel. And he walks up and he says, ma'am, I overheard you talking in the store, and I have a whole lot of these. I'd be glad to help you. And I said, well, the problem is I'm going to Princeton, not sure how we get them back to you. And he said, oh, I've got plenty of them. Take them, take them. And I said, well, let me pay you for them. He said, no, ma'am. He says, you know, you can have them. So he and the police officer secured the chair, and I continued on to West Virginia. And I was just reminded that God would be my husband, that he would bring me through these days. And then I go back to Psalm 68 again. And this is what I say to the Lord. It's 68:4. I will sing praise to God and his name. I will sing loud praises to him who rides the clouds. His name is the Lord. Rejoice in his presence. Father to the fatherless, defender of widows, this is God whose dwelling is holy.
Amen.
God, a hand kept my breath.
Amen. Vicki, I'm thankful for you and how you have modeled trust in the Lord for me. As I've watched you walk this road, and so thank you for the testimony and for your heart and your example.
Jared, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible is just a couple over, Psalms 103. And he starts 103 by talking about, bless the Lord with all's in me, bless his name. And he says in verse 2, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then in verse 3, the first thing he says, the first benefit, he says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Amen. Then he goes down in verse 8, he says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. And here, and then verse 10 is the verse. He says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. I'm thankful for a loving Heavenly Father and a Savior that died for my sins. I'll never have to answer for them. And it says he is plenteous in mercy, and he's not dealt with us according to our iniquities. And I'm so thankful for Jesus.
Amen. Savior. Amen.
I just want to say that this time a year ago, I was really having trouble with faith. I was battling a lot. God just kept throwing things at me, and I didn't understand why. My son was born, and we had a lot of difficulties, health difficulties. Thankful that my mom was there for me to help me get through it. And I'm thankful that God was able to show himself to me to let him know that he was with me and that he was going to pull my son through this. And it just really opened up my eyes, and that's when I knew God was real. And God had opened up and said, come to me. And there's no way I couldn't have gotten through what life threw at me without him. And this year, my family and I have dealt with a lot of health issues with my grandmother. It's been extremely hard on us, but you know, God is always with us. And the last couple of months, my son and I have moved back home. And, you know, there's been times that I never knew what I was going to do or how I was going to get through it. So I'm grateful and I'm so thankful that he's been there for me. And I'm extremely thankful that he has given me a mama that has been there for me, my little brother, my stepdad. And I'm extremely, extremely thankful today to have my family with me. And without them, I could never got through this.
Amen. Thanks, Mallory.
Well, I have a lot to praise God for, but I'm really thankful for this church family. I'm thankful for each one of you that prayed for us while Brian has been gone and corresponded with him and lifted his spirits. And I'm really thankful for each one of you all. You stand in the gap. And that's about all right now. I'm thankful for a lot, but that's what's on my heart is having my husband home, and I'm thankful for that and for you people.
We're thankful for you. Any kids? Any kids want to share anything? A word of thanksgiving to the Lord? They got real quiet. Who raised the hand? Oh, Bob.
I just want to give thanks for my church family, and just how God has shown me. I've been struggling here lately, and just the, you know, God has sent people to me that have just, you know, when you think you can't make another step, and then somebody, you know, carries you little ways. I want to thank, you know, everybody that's reached out, everybody that's helped, you know. God, you know, God is good, and, you know, he uses people to show that sometimes. Hmm. And I just want to thank God for my church family.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. I'll tell you, I'm thankful to the Lord for this church family as well. This time a year ago, we didn't know where we'd be. We didn't know what God was up to, what he was doing. But he wasn't surprised, and he had a plan, and he still has a plan. And he's working those things according to that plan. I'm just thankful to be a part of it. But I'm also thankful for each of you and your families and your love. And what I love that I get to see how God's working in so many different ways and different lives, and it's so cool to see. So I'm thankful to our Lord that he, even in the midst of uncertainty and hurt, that he can take those things and he can give birth to something really, really special. So thankful to the Lord for that. Anybody else? All right. If there's nobody else, we're going to sing a song together, and we're going to sing 10,000 Reasons. To bless the Lord. So would you guys, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing together. Use this time to use your voice to shout out to the Lord.
sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing with me. Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy. Rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name.
Listen to this verse. We sort of touched on this topic a bit in the Thanksgiving. Hear this.
And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy.
Brian, would you mind praying for us? Just a prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you for being here this morning and for joining in our just unique time of gathering together. We're going to continue our worship through giving back as the Lord has given to us. But before we do that, we're going to have just a few quick announcements to kind of get you a snapshot of what December looks like for us. Just want to highlight three specific things we got coming up. So starting next week, December 2nd, we're going to start a Christmas series. We're going to be walking through Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. And so we're going to be walking through Luke 1 and Luke chapter 2. And we're going to just see what all that God has for us packed up into those two chapters. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll work 4 weeks through that series together, and that's going to be a lot of fun, so you won't miss it. In fact, invite someone to come and join us for that Christmas series as we look to where hope at Christmas actually comes from. And, of course, we know that's found in Jesus, and so we're going to be lifting him high again throughout the month of December. So you won't want to miss that series. It'll be a lot of fun as we walk through that together. Secondly, on December the 15th, we're going to be having a student Christmas party. So if you know any high school students, middle school students that would like to join us, we're going to host it at Danielle and I's house. So on December the 15th, from 5 to 8, it's a Friday, from 5
Saturday.
To 8.
It's a Saturday.
That's a Saturday from 5 to 8. I just read this thing about how the announcement guy never knows what the announcements are. Now, I just was that. So 5 to 8 on Saturday, we're going to have a lot of fun, play games, and eat together. So invite any students. In fact, we might even open it up to college age as well. We're just going to have a good time together. So that's on the 15th coming up. And then on the 19th, which is a Wednesday night, we are going to have a family Christmas dinner at Sela Springs. It's going to be a lot of fun, just sort of an intimate family. So we won't be having a Christmas Eve service. This will be our Christmas Eve service. So we'll have time of worship together and prayer together and just enjoying a good meal alongside one another. So again, and this is wide open. Whoever would like to come, so invite friends, family. If they're involved in another church but still would like to join us, anybody's welcome to be a part of this this night, and we'll give some more details by email coming up, but just go ahead and put that on your calendar, December 19th, Wednesday night, for our family Christmas dinner. And that's all that I got, so listen, excited that you're here this morning. Be looking for opportunities as we go into December to be on mission with your neighbors, with your friends, with your coworkers. There's so many opportunities around Christmas to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to serve someone who needs help, to give a word of encouragement, to send a card. There's never an easier time to give a gift to a neighbor than at Christmas time. So get a gift ready and then take them to someone who needs it. So let's stand together. We're going to sing. Let me pray over our offering, and then we're going to sing going out of here together. Jesus, we love you, and we are so thankful for your great love for us. As we give back, Lord, just a small piece of what you've given us, would you take that and would you use it for your mission? Would you use this church to be a part of your mission around the world and here in the New River Valley? Our desire, God, is for lives to be transformed by your grace, and we are thankful that we get to be a part of that. So, Lord, take these offerings and use it for that purpose, for lifting up your name in our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand and join us? We're going to sing a song a cappella that's normally thought of as a Christmas carol, or you often hear it around the Christmas time. But when you listen to the words of this song, it's all about being thankful and singing adoration to him. So let's sing this song.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, open to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed. Wellspring of the joy of living, ocean depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all
who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other. Lift us with the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars begin. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph song of life.
And it's because of Jesus, it's because of the hope that he provides, that as this song says, victors in the midst of strife, we can be victors, not because of what we've done, but because of what he has done. So as you go out into the world, as you go to your jobs, as you go to your neighborhoods and your family, make sure that you are singing this joyful music, because we truly have something to be thankful for. Let's let others know about him, okay? Thank you all for being here. I look forward to seeing you next week.